Thank you, like always, a pleasure. There is a major NAFCA meeting, whether it's just South Florida or Florida. I get a discount in Orlando if I'm the good director of the whole Florida. I believe this topic is a no-win situation for me. It's as controversial, as delicate as you can find. Politics is, you know, they tell you, they have a saying that, you know, they would tell, that mothers would tell their children, you know, you never talk to anybody about religion or politics. And I'm supposed to mix both together. It's not so pashut. The two things that, you know, they're topics that are of great sensitivity. But yet, they really are important issues. And mitzad echad, I have to be honest, I'm not into false advertising, but I feel that it would be a michshel for me to speak politics and not speak Torah. It's a shir, Thursday night's mishmor. It's not a zman for frivolous talk of stam politics. But we did announce politics, so I'll speak a little bit politics at the end. I hope with the proper siyata deshmaya in the right hashkafas. I want to start off. I mean, those that have learned the daf hayomi, which I do not include myself in that very chashuva group, but those that did learn the daf hayomi will probably remember this gemara at the end, towards the end of Masechet Brachos. That I think gives us an insight as to a Torah perspective of what proper governance should be. The Gemara says, "Omer Rabbi Yochanan, le'olam yishtadel adam loretz likras malchei Yisrael, v'lo likras malchei Yisrael belvad, ela filu likras malchei oiv dekeichovim, sheim yizke yavchin b'malchei Yisrael malchei oiv dekeichovim." The Gemara starts off by telling us that a person should make every effort to run to see, to have an audience, or even to see from afar a Melech Yisrael, to see a king, and not just to see a Jewish king, but even to see a non-Jewish king, because by seeing that, at least you'll be able to distinguish between what the difference is between a Jewish king and a non-Jewish king. There seems to have been a very obvious distinction between the two. Then the Gemara goes on and recounts a maisa. Rav Sheshes Sagi Norahav. Sheshes was blind. And Havaka Azli Kule Amalik Vule Api Malka. The king was coming to town. I'm sure it was, not a usual visit. So everybody ran out to go greet the king. The Kama Ozabadayu, Rav Sheshes, he went together with them. So Rav Sheshes Ashkechi Ahu Tzeduki, there was this Tzeduki there, who was, waiting also to see the king, and he started to chaper him. I'm not going to go through the whole Gemara, but he said, "What are you doing here? You know, you're blind, it's a waste of time for you." And Rav Sheshes says to him, "Believe me, I know better than you what's going on here and when the king is coming." And the Gemara discusses how there were different sounds and groups of people and parades and things like that happening, and each time that Tzeduki turns to Rav Sheshes says, "No, the king is about to come." And each time Rav Sheshes said, "Not yet. Not yet, not now, he's not coming yet." Until, the Gemara says, there was complete quiet. Kikashatka, when there was silence, Omer le Rav Sheshes, "Vaday hashta osi malke." Now for sure the king is coming. Omer le, "How Tzeduki minolach?" "How do you know this?" So Omer le, "The Malchusa de Ara ke'ein Malchusa de Rakia." Malchus in this world, on earth, is a reflection of Malchus Shamayim. And by Malchus Shamayim it says that Tzei ve'amadato behar lifnei Hashem v'hine Hashem oive v'ruach g'doylo v'chazak mefarik horim meshaber sloim lifnei Hashem loy v'ruach Hashem. There was, Hashem was not found in the winds. And Loi Berash Hashem, Hashem was not found in the thunder and the loud noise. And not in the fire. Ve'achar ha'esh, kol d'mama dako. There was silence. And there was silence, that's when HaKadosh Baruch Hu appeared. And that's exactly when the Melech arrived. So Rav Sheshes gives us a very important yesod, that there's a concept in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to reveal His presence in the world. And He knows that Kaviyoch, the Ribbono Shel Olam, can't reveal Himself, so to speak, the way He was Megala at Har Sinai. Can't do that all the time. So there has to be another vehicle available to the people to recognize a Borei Olam, a Melech Malchi Amlochim. And the only way that we could achieve such a recognition of the Ribbono Shel Olam in such terms as a Melech is to give us a governance in this world that's called Malchus. When there's Malchus in this world and there's such a thing as a Melech, there's a king, there's a royal court, there's a throne, there's a palace. A person sees that majesty and they are in awe of it. That brings them, and it's supposed to bring them, to a recognition of what it means, Malchus Shamayim. It's a way in which a person can perceive things, get them to think, get them to understand, and recognize and see Malchus Hashem. But I believe the Gemara is telling us a very important concept, that the true Torah governance, what we really want to have, is Malchus. Malchus, that's what we need, and that's really what we're yearning for. Malchus beis David, klal yisrael sem tasim alecha melech. Shetei Masa Alecha. There's a din of Eima. The Gemara in Kedusha, no? That's what it means. Shetei Masa Alecha. That by seeing a king, a person should be filled with a sense of trepidation, which brings him to a better understanding of what it means to stand before the Melech Malchi Amlochim. So when we talk about what we want in a government, we really mean we want that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should return Malchus Beis David, that we should have the Melech HaMashiach. We are looking for Malchus. And in Klal Yisrael, in Judaism, it's a very basic concept that there is such a thing called hierarchy. There is a pyramid when there's people on top and then there's people on the bottom. And there's the masses that follow the king, his orders. There's such a thing called Meirat ben Malchus. And there's a power that the king has of life and death in his hands. It's intrinsic in the world to be able to recognize a Borei Olam as a Melech, to have that. And unfortunately, today, we don't have it. There's no such thing as a real royal family. Even the royal family of Great Britain, it's just a diplomatic type of a, you know, ceremonial position. Yeah, they have a certain sense of pomp and fashion and all this fancy stuff that goes along with it. Everybody in the whole world wanted to watch when the prince got married. As a Grace says, nobody was invited, and yet everybody wants to watch it. It didn't make any sense to me. But people were mamish crowding to see the prince get married. Chariots and crowns and pendants and fancy jewelry. Okay. But they're not really, nobody's scared of them. Right? All the tabloids don't mind speaking all the filth and Lashon Hara that you could say about anybody, about the royal family. There's no Meira. There's no fear. So there's no Malchus today. So in other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam took away from us, Rachmana Litzlan, part of the Schurban that we're suffering, this Golus. Hashem took away the one and only vehicle that would have made it accessible to us to be able to recognize the Ribbono Shel Olam as the Melech Malchi Amlochim. And therefore, it's very hard to understand what the matzav is. We don't see Malchus Shemayim as much as we should. I struggle with this, you know, in Rosh Hashanah particularly. We just had Rosh Hashanah. Like, you have to really recognize HaMelech, Malchiyos. How do we do that? We don't even know what a Melech is. Right? They say over that, you know, the old Mashalim were always a Ben Melech, a prince, a this and that. The newer Mashalim, they don't use those examples anymore. Because who knows what a prince is, what a king is? It's not practical. We can't even begin to imagine that. So, recognizing Malchus Shamayim, Malachus Kama Bekama. So what do we have? What we have is an indication of the Madrega, the Matzav of Klal Yisrael, if I can say it like that. If we don't have Malchus, it's because we're not capable of having Malchus. And therefore, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is hiding Himself from us. So what exists today has a purpose of confusing and hiding the Ribbono Shel Olam. I mean, we're not even going to go to talk about today all the different political movements that had, you know, surfaced throughout history. Communism and fascism and socialism and secularism, which is prevalent today in Europe. There's been all types of, right, theocracies of sorts that have crept up around the world. But the fashion today, without any doubt, is the fight for what we call democracy. Democracy is it. And the voice of democracy is important, and we want to try to instill that democratic concept to nations around the world. That's what they try to do. Because as the philosophy goes, whenever you give people the opportunity to vote, they will always vote for peace. Now tell that to the people of Venezuela who just voted in Hugo Chavez another time. They didn't vote for peace. They voted for more dictatorship, more control over their life. Socialism with a democratic twist. They voted for socialism. It wasn't imposed on them. They voted for it. They voted for the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt. They voted for it. They voted for Hamas in Gaza. Democracy is all over the place. People are voting, and they're voting for what they want as their representative government. That's a scary thought. Democracy is supposed to be the solution to all the problems, and yet whenever we institute democracy anywhere else in the world, they don't seem to know how to deal with it. They always end up voting for the wrong people. It's a Pella. We wish they would go back to a little bit more of a dictatorship, you know. The good old days. Mubarak, you know, something nice like that. No. We want democracy. It's a foolish thought. And in America, this is where it all started. Democracy. In these shores. A government by the people, for the people. It's beautiful. I want to clarify something, a disclaimer. I personally, me, this is not my position as a Gudas Yisrael or my position as a teacher in Beis Yaakov or as a rabbi in a shul. It's a simple position. I'm very patriotic. I am. I don't know why. I am. Mishigas, I'm patriotic. I've always been very patriotic. I get emotional about patriotism. I see a flag. I am Amish. I feel a certain chiba for this country and its values, the right values, and the opportunity that it's given Klal Yisrael, and that sense of Hakaras HaTov that we have to have for the flourishing of Torah in ways that we can't even begin to fathom what it was like in other places in Golos, because it's just, we've never had it this good. In that Bliya in Hora, right? It's really a place where, you know, it's in a remarkable place. And politically, and I'm not endorsing anybody, but I definitely tend towards, you know, cheering on a more conservative perspective. And I'm going to deal with that a little bit more. Just to explain it in terms of the topic of the Shir, but. You know, that's me personally. So that's my perspective. I share those things. But afal pikein, we have to know that just because we're patriotic and thankful and grateful and have hakaras hatov for everything that this country has done, that doesn't mean that it's perfect in terms of what we as Jews have to aspire for in terms of governance. If anything, it's probably the worst thing that's ever happened in governance. Because a government by the people, for the people, has removed all vestiges of an idea called hierarchy. There's no such thing as hierarchy anymore. You know, a guy can be a community organizer one day and the president of the United States the next day. Big deal. And if not him, it'll be somebody else. And in 4 years, you get a new one. And it's just a matter of a revolving door between who's in office at that particular time. And then they leave office and we're back to square one. And people have a tendency of, you know, regardless of who the president is at that time, you know, the opposite party will always be very critical and be very upset, and they'll have demonstrations and there'll be newspaper articles and what have you. And that's the society in which we live in. But democracy has taken away from us any ability whatsoever of being able to recognize Malchus Shamayim. What we see is hefkerus, is tumult. We see the opposite of what we're supposed to achieve through governance. It's hiding the Ribbono Shel Olam from us. Completely hiding the Ribbono Shel Olam from us. And that puts us in a very difficult situation as Torah Jews. How do we balance these two things? What we know to be the best form of governing that exists in the free world, with the knowledge that it has the potential of destroying the true fabric of Klal Yisrael. The true fabric of Klal Yisrael. It's in danger, it's a jeopardy that we lose who we are because of the ideal of how the politics in this country works. Well, let me tell you something. I work for the Aguda, as you know, and I'm very proud of that fact. There's many reasons why, but I'm often asked, sometimes a little bit too often, and sometimes a little too frustrating that they keep on asking the same questions. What does the Aguda do? I mean, what do you guys do already? As if, you know, we've only been around for 100 years for no real reason. I mean, the Reb Chaim Eiser and the Chafetz Chaim and the Bechonon and what did they know? Right? And then Rav Moshe and Rav Aaron Kotler and Rav Yaakov, what did they know? And today's Gedolim, you know. So what is the Aguda do? It's just politics. It's my favorite reaction. All you guys do is politics. Oh, it's politics, politics. It's unbelievable. And it's a sad thing. Because in this concept called democracy, where everything goes, where it's a government of the people, we have to play an integral part to bring about a recognition of a Borei Olam in this world. Because without us, there is no way that anybody can recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. This past week, I met and I had a discussion. I'm not going to, Rachmana Litzan, I'm in a Beis HaMedrash, and I shouldn't talk Dvarim Shel Mabekach, to say it like that. But I met with a Jewish radio talk show host, very, 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 very well-known, national figure. Very popular. Dennis Prager, I don't know if you heard of him. Very well-known talk show host. And I was having an argument with him. I was not happy with his perspective on things. You know, these people, they think they can be spokesmen for Judaism, you know, just because they happen to be Jewish. So when they talk, they're talking for all of Judaism. Rachmana Litzlan. Even though he's got conservative viewpoints in terms of politics, but he also has conservative viewpoints in terms of Judaism, but conservative Judaism, not conservative politics. Rachmana Litzlan. So, his perspective is verkrumpt a little bit. And, let's just say that. So I was upset with, he was saying that, you know, we have to teach the world about, you know, a little bit of proselytization, teach the world what it means to be a good guy, teach them to keep the Sheva Mitzvahs and this and that. And I said to him, listen, Tzadikul, listen to me. One minute. My achrayus, my responsibility as a Torah Jew, is to be the type of a person that whoever comes in contact with me will leave saying there's a Borei Olam. That's my responsibility. I'm supposed to be megala the existence of the Borei Olam in all of my activities, particularly in those activities that bring us in close contact with political and civic life. When you interact with people, they're supposed to leave by saying, I want to do what this person requested, not because of a campaign contribution, but because I respect who they are and what they stand for. In all of the dealings that we have with Agudah, and this is direct hashkofer from our Gedolim, every time we interact with government officials, It's never under the pretext that there's a quid pro quo. I don't go to sell them a possible fundraiser for their next election campaign. I don't go there to give them a perception that, you know, if you scratch our back, we'll scratch yours. I sit there and I talk to them values, our values. I don't even ask them. I tell them. I don't say, would you please consider this? These are the issues that as Torah Jews are important to our community. This is what matters to us in our value system, in what we believe in. My hope and prayer when I leave and I get up, and believe me, I say a lot of tefillahs, is that I was able to be mashpia a little bit in a recognition that there is a higher authority. There's a bina yoylom. There's a sense of responsibility. There's ethics and there's values. There's morals and there's a way to which one should live their life. It's essential part of who we are as Klal Yisrael in a world where there's no overt expression of Malchus Shamayim through government. We become the vehicle of bringing about a greater recognition of Malchus Shamayim in the situation in which we live in. It becomes our achrayus, our responsibility in our interaction and in our involvement, that nothing is ever done in a way that could potentially, chalila, bring a chilul to Hashem, but rather can only bring a kiddush to Hashem. A kiddushem shamayim. Rav Moshe Sherer used to be asked this question, so I don't get so insulted when they ask me, what does the Aguda do? If Rav Moshe Sherer, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, was able to deal with that, I guess I can deal with it too. Obviously, he was a lot more prolific and he was a better representative of the values of Agudas Yisrael than I, but at the same time, he would give a very simple answer. Agudas Yisrael is just politics. Politics. This is not politics. This is Avodas HaKodesh. This is Dvarim HaOimdim Berume Shel Olam. And he went on and he would always give examples of things that were going on lamaisa, that were Oimdim HaLaperik, that were really right going on, where Agudas Yisrael's involvement or a Torah organization's involvement was going to make all the difference in the world politically that would have an impact on our community. People don't even understand or realize what goes on legislatively. Just one example. This year there was here in Florida where they wanted to pass a law that to the average person would have seemed completely positive, very conservative, very good. It had all the right sponsors and legislation. It was an anti-Sharia law. An anti-Sharia law that would put limits on the possibility of the Muslim community to impose their Sharia values into our legal and court system. And therefore, as a result, they would limit the power of the Sharia movement in America and in the state of Florida. That was their intention. You hear that, you say, Gevaldik, where do I sign? You know, Sharia law of other. But if you read the legislation, which we did, you realize if this passes, our Beis Din is going to be affected. A get can be affected. Gittin and other hachrois that a Beis Din makes could be impacted by this law. And when I called them up and I spoke to them, I said, do you realize that inadvertently your language is so ambiguous that it could have an impact on, you know, these issues? And we sent them a whole list of things that would have potentially impacted by this law. Eventually, Baruch Hashem, it didn't even get voted on. But at least there was a maso matan. They didn't chap. They didn't realize. They thought it was perfect law. All intentions were good. So what's wrong with it? People don't know. They're busy running their daily lives. Somebody's got to read what's going on, see what's happening, react to it. Look, New York, what's happening with Bris Milah, or when San Francisco's happening with Bris Milah, and tomorrow it could be something else. People don't realize the impact that exists in our daily life just because of government policies. Government policies can make Jewish life that we're so comfortable with extremely uncomfortable. And somebody's got to be paying attention to it, because otherwise we'll wake up one day and things are different. Like in New York City, where you can't buy a big Slurpee anymore, a big gulp, for crying out loud. I mean, just, you know, it was too late by the time they woke up. Now Washington D.C., they also want to limit. Washington D.C., they also want. They thought it was a great idea. No more big gulps. You can buy 2 16-ounce and you'll end up drinking 32. Yesh gefarlach, but you didn't buy one big one. A loving cup. That's what happens. But people just let things go. So somebody's got to be vigilant, politically speaking, to understand what's going on. That goes without even talking about the impact of government programs that we have that benefit our schools. The amount of money that we're able to bring. Baruch Hashem. Somebody's got to work on these things, otherwise it doesn't happen on its own. So it's not just politics. A vote is not just politics. A vote is the vehicle in which we can gain the access to be a better spokesman for the presence of the Ribbono Shel Olam in this world, where our values and our morals and our obligation of bringing about a greater recognition of a Kodesh Baruch Hu, of a Melech Malchei HaMelechim, that power is there, the access is there if we vote. If we're involved in the process, it allows for a greater vehicle, a greater opening to be Megaleh, Kvod Malchus Shamayim in the world. Somebody's got to speak for values that are important. And we can't allow that the values are in the hands of the churches. They're the ones that are going to speak of values, and we as Yidden are not going to speak up for values. Rechmona Litzlan. How can we not speak up for values? How can there not be an organized Jewish community that doesn't understand the need that values plays in our daily life? You know, I get calls all the time from concerned citizens when they drive by a billboard that is completely inappropriate. That's a very, very, very important thing. And we call up the place and tell them, can you please, you know, do something about it? Sometimes they laugh you off, sometimes... Yeah, they always laugh you off, really. They never really pay attention. I've never had yet once a call that says, oh, you know what, thank you for the sensitivity, we didn't think about that. Never. But be it as it may, somebody's got to speak up. We're living in a world where our values are falling apart in front of our very eyes. The things that we hold dear, the definitions of things that we thought were obvious are not obvious anymore to anybody. And what's happening to the world around us? And we're just going to stay quiet? It affects us. We cry about the impact of the internet and the effect that it has on our children. Rahman al-Itslan. The internet is just one vehicle of the hashpoyas, of the very negative influences that exist in the world today. That's one vehicle. But there's a lot of other vehicles. They can be just as bad, if not worse. I mean, we are surrounded by Nevola, Pritzus, all types of things that are happening, a redefinition of everything that we hold dear. And if we vote, we can influence that. We can make a difference. We can make a difference. It's essential. It's part of what we must try to accomplish. We don't have any more Malchus. We are B'nai Melachim. We're still the B'nai Melachim in the world. We're the ones that have to be Megale through our involvement in what's going on in the world. So now, the last few minutes, I'll talk a little bit more politics. Not that I wasn't talking politics, but it was Bederech Remes. Now it's going to be a little bit more overt. As a representative of a 501c3, standing on the pulpit of a 501c3 in the auspices of another 501c3, I will not, no matter how much you prod me, no matter how much you poke me, I will not endorse a candidate. I will not endorse a vice presidential candidate. I will not endorse a Senate candidate or a House of Representative candidate. And I will not endorse a representative for the State House or the State Senate. I will say that we need change. Hamevin Yovin, that's all I can say. Now, changes, and each one promises change in their own way, but we need change. A change of direction, a change of hashkofis. We need change. I can't say much more than that. But I will speak about some other things that are very important to us. In this election, there are on the ballot, besides President and Vice President Romney, the choice for President and Vice President, the choice for Senate, there's also amendments. There are quite a number of what we call ballot initiatives. A ballot initiative means the possibility of having an amendment to the Constitution of the state of Florida. There's quite a number of them. And believe it or not, these are not things that you should skip over. These are things you really have to vote on. They are extremely important. Four of them in particular have a direct impact on our community. Two of which are extremely directly impacting our community. One is a morals issue, a values issue, and the other one is mamish, a very important change to the state constitution. And people really have to get out and vote. And this I am allowed to talk about, because we are allowed, as 501c3s, we are allowed to have an opinion on an issue. Not on a candidate, but on an issue. I am allowed to speak of issues. So I can tell you, I don't have enough time to go through all the amendments. They're quite lengthy and boring. But there are two numbers you should remember. Really, I'll tell you like this. If you vote yes on all the amendments, you did okay. You did okay. They're okay. Nothing's wrong with voting yes on all of them. They're not all going to have an impact on us. They're nice. They're okay, you know. But four of them have an impact on us. One of them has to do with Supreme Court justices and how they're selected by the state of Florida. Right now they're selected by the governor, and then they get immediately appointed to the Supreme Court. There's not like the federal government where they still have to be reviewed by the Senate and approved and voted on by the Senate before they can be admitted in the Supreme Court. I think that's an important issue for us, because Supreme Court justices are very dangerous. There's actually three up for retention. Three Supreme Court justices can be voted off the bench. They really can be. It's potentially possible for them to lose their seat. Now, Supreme Court justices make decisions that are very important. We don't have too much access to the process on choosing a Supreme Court justice, because it's very quick. The governor gets us recommendations, he chooses, and they're appointed. But if there's a process in which they need to be approved by the Senate, then it's more transparent, and we can learn about the person and maybe have an opinion one way or another if we feel that they would harm us or be good for us. So that has potential to yell us. There's another two, and I'm going to be very quick now, that are important. One of them is a moral issue that has to do with an unfortunate machla of immorality in this country that we live in, where the meaning of life and unborn life is always being debated. And this particular amendment protects an unborn child in a way that currently they're left unprotected. And it requires, and it allows for the state to make a law that would require parental notification if anything wants to be done by a minor or something like that, which to us seems like a double poshut, but not to an immoral world. So that's something that we have to vote to pass. And most important of all of them is number 8. Remember this number, Amendment 8. It's a key to a lot of changes in our state. And that is the changing of the language in the state constitution that does not allow for state funds to be given to religious entities. Meaning that there is religious discrimination. They discriminate against religious institutions because we're religious, so they don't give us any funding, even though the money is going to be used for anything we can use it for. We can have programs to help people find jobs. We can have programs to help people with this or with that. All types of things that we can do, but we can't access those funds today because of the fact that the Constitution prohibits that. So this particular amendment, 8, would be removed. The language would be removed from the state constitution and would allow us to fight for greater access to state funds, including the famous, one of the most favorite Jewish word today, vouchers. But you can't say that too loud, because vouchers is, there's a lot of opponents to vouchers. But vouchers is one of the things that could help our schools and our moistas tremendously. It could help all the parents in the community tremendously who are sending their kids to private schools. Vouchers is a very important thing, but we can't access vouchers today. It's unconstitutional in the state of Florida. But if we remove this language, then you can get the ball rolling on some major differences, major changes that could have a positive impact. But if we don't vote, it won't happen. Voting is really important. And these amendments, in order for any of them to pass, they need 60% of the voting public to actually vote for its passage in order for it to be enacted. Otherwise, it won't be enacted. 58% voted for it, it's not going to work. 60% or more has to vote in order to pass this. And we need to get that threshold, otherwise we lost the opportunity. And on this particular amendment, I've been working on personally for the last 5 years to get it on this ballot. 5 years. That's one of the few times I allowed Agudas Yisrael's name to be used on a website as a sponsor of a piece of, you know, legislation. Or this is not legislation, but an amendment. And I've gotten a lot of heat for it from secular groups, because Jews are not supposed to vote like this. But Lemaisa, it's very important for our community. So, as a civic duty, I encourage everybody to vote. Come November 6th, vote correctly. Study the positions of the candidates. Study exactly what they want to do for this country, for our economy, for Eretz Yisrael, where they stand on the issues of religious freedom and religious rights, where they stand on the issues that are important to our community. And don't hesitate to go beyond those important elections and look at the ballot initiatives and vote for those as well. Supreme Court justices as well, there's a decision to be made there. These are important things that could have a very important impact on us. And Be'ezer Hashem, we should have the Siyat Deshmaya to have the Gilui Kvod Shamayim once again with the coming of Malchus Beis David being reestablished with Melech HaMashiach Yimheira B'Yomeinu. Amen.